This is tape one of an interview being conducted between Karen Duter and the date is the 30th of May, 1998. When and where were you born?
I was born in Bristol, England.
How long did you live in Bristol?
4 years, and then my parents immigrated to Canada.
Mm. Was that for work reasons?
Not really. My mother felt there was family interference and she wanted to get away. So at that time, Canada was offering a real cheap rate, something like £10 or something, like Australia did at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And so they did that. They came over here. I want to pause that while I clear my throat.
I came over on a sort of cheap deal.
Yeah.
Where did they move to?
First of all, we landed in Montreal. We had my mother had relatives there. And we didn't stay there very long. We headed over to White Rock in BC, where my aunt was. And we stayed with her for a while. And then they moved into Vancouver proper. Mm. First Avenue, right in the heart of Vancouver.
For how long? The whole of your time growing up?
No. Both my parents went out to work there, and they had been both working in England. They had their own business. My dad was a tailor, so he was working in the tailoring business here, but it was very low wages. Mm. So my mother had to go out to work, and she worked in an office, and so with them working, they were able to save for property and bought some property in North Vancouver. Mm. And then built a house over there. And so when I was 7 and a half, we moved over to North Vancouver, which was like country.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And you stayed there how long?
Till I was 17 when I went back to England.
Mm. So you said that your mother had been working in England. So mm-hmm. was she also working in an office there?
No. She was working with my dad. It was the war years. And so they had their own tailoring business. And then when the war came along, they made stuff for the war effort.
Oh. Mm.
And because my dad didn't go in the army. Medical reasons. He was a nervous man and he didn't pass his physical. So he worked doing that and they had also a business where they were it was a chemist shop as well. So they had the tailoring business. Yeah, it was pretty versatile over there. Tailoring business upstairs and the chemist shop downstairs.
Wow.
Interesting how they do that over there. Yeah, so, but then when he came over here, and the wages were pretty low, in the 60s sometime, he decided to take a whole new profession, and he became a carpenter.
Oh.
And we were forbidden to talk about his days in tailoring, because that wasn't a man's job. He wanted to be a man.
Mm.
Yeah, that was a big issue in our family.
Mm.
So.
Huh. So were you the only child, or do you have siblings?
I have an older brother, 3.5 years older.
Do you know how old your parents were when you were born?
My mother was 22, and my father was 23.
Mm. And how long after they married had your brother been born?
My mother was pregnant when they got married. And I think my mother was 18. Yeah. Wasn't a good scene.
Hmm.
So I hear. So, yeah. So then she wasn't supposed to have any more children or something. And then there was me. And she didn't want me. So.
What was the family interference that you spoke of that made them leave the country?
Well, my parents at one point lived with my grandparents, and also my aunt and uncle lived in the same house. And it was just a three-bedroom terraced home. It was quite small. And then they did manage to buy a home of their own because of their tailoring business after the war. But then my brother, who was a disturbed child, used to run away to my grandmother's house instead of going to school. And my mother found out about that and went down to my grandmother's house. And there was a lot of family disturbance over that, because my brother was the pet. But he was a very disturbed child because of our parents, the disruption between them and their marriage. And so the interference by my grandparents, both sets, my mother wanted to have control of her family. And so she got this idea in her head, and that's that kind of is how it happened.
Were they how would you describe your parents? Were they strict? Were they lenient?
My mother, I always thought of my mother as the Iron Woman. I was not a favorite. My brother was. My father was like quiet until he started drinking, and then when he drank, he got very violent. His aggression was pointed at my brother, and so it was very violent through the years with that, and then at my mother also. My mother's aggression was pointed at me, and then my brother also was a violent person with me. So there was a lot of violence in the home. So my mother was a very loud, aggressive woman. She was 5 feet tall, but she had a very strong voice, and she instilled fear in me. And my father was withdrawn and unapproachable. And when they were in the middle of their conflicts, one would run to me and the other would run to me, and you have to make a choice. And you can't make a choice as a child. So you have a dilemma and you're in a struggle and you don't have clarity on what's going on, and your heart's ripped in two, so you try to deal with that.
How would you have described your childhood then? Was it a happy one?
No. My happiness and safety came because we did live in North Vancouver, and because it was a wooded area, and I would leave the home very early in the morning, and I would go out and wander in the bush, meditate, or pray. This was safety for me, and I never came home till it was quite dark at night. And so I just did all this wandering around. And I think in those days it was safer. I never felt any problem for my safety at all. But I just walked and I walked and I walked and I prayed, and I forgot what was behind me at home. And I just looked at leaves and examined the beauty of nature and did all this stuff that kept me in a dream world and it protected me. But when I was at home and in the evenings when the drinking started, I tried to spend as much time as I could in my bedroom. If I was in the living room and it started, like instantaneously over nothing sometimes, I was caught. I couldn't leave the room. I had to stay there because I was terrified to move, because if I left the room, I would be followed, or things would be pointed at me. So I had to stay put and not move. I was too frightened to move.
So. You talked about praying. Was religion important in your family?
Not to them, but it was to me. I don't even know. Well, I think it came from my grandparents. Both of my grandmothers were very religious women. One did go to church. The other one just did her own thing at home, prayed all the time. And I think that's where the influence came from. And we did live across from a church in England. Then when we moved to First Avenue, we lived across from another Anglican church. And my mother, to give herself some free time, I guess, sent us a couple of times a week to the church. It's like a good built-in babysitter. So then I started learning this stuff. And so then I, at 6 years old, I started to ponder God. I remember my first prayer. It was my grandmother, mother was taking my aunt who had been visiting to the bus stop. And our bedroom was just behind a drawn curtain. And when she went out, she turned on the light. And so I liked that. So I said, oh, well, if you're there, God, you know, make her come back so the light would turn on. And if not, that's okay. You won't hear this prayer anyway. 6-year-old prayer. You know. And she came back. I said, oh, God exists. God exists. That was my childlike mind. So I was totally convinced there was a God. And that saved me from a lot of stuff.
Did you go to Sunday school?
Yeah. I wasn't impressed with Sunday school.
Why?
I was a frightened child, and things like, well, we had to memorize all the books of the Bible in order. And the bribe was you got this silver bracelet or whatever. Well, I didn't like to do that. I thought this was foolish. Why would I need to do that when what I wanted to learn was inside the book? So this is my 6-year-old mind thinking this. And but however, I felt I wasn't a child who I was frightened of authority, and so I knew I would have to do it. So I was practically the last to memorize it. So I didn't get a very good choice of bracelet either. It didn't mean much to me, so I just didn't care for it. So I did do it. Not very well, but I did do it.
Did your brother go to Sunday school as well?
Yeah. Yeah. He's not religious at all. Not a spiritual person. He puts faith in UFOs and stuff like that. You have to find something in your life. It's okay. Maybe they do exist. I don't know.
So when you escaped off into the woods in North Van, were you by yourself or did you play with other kids up there too?
Always by myself. Always by myself. Yeah, sometimes I got to meet people and they would have a nice dog. And so I would take their dogs for walks. But I liked the silence. It was therapeutic for me. And I would just sit down on rocks or sit down on logs and just be. It was a form of meditation, I suppose. I would just sit there and feel and smell all the beautiful aromas of nature and be healed. I didn't think about what was happening at home. So I really feel I was saved in a way. That was my protection. If I'd grown up in Vancouver, I wouldn't have had a place to go. So,
did you have any friends at school?
Yeah, I had some friends. I met a girl in grade 5 who was from England, and we hit it off really well. She had a sense of humor, and so did I. And she was 5'9", believe it or not, in grade 5. And I was, under 5 feet, I'm sure. So we looked like Mutt and Jeff, but we had such fun. She ended up being 6'4", just huge. Her name's, I guess I don't need to give you a name, but we did have a lot of fun. And then when I went to high school, they divided our road in half. She lived on my road. I went one way and she went another way, and we separated off. That was in junior high. So we didn't see each other that much anymore. And then in high school, junior high, I met up with Claire, which was somebody who became very special in my life. And she didn't have anyone else. She was much a loner. And it was her and I, we all the time together. And the odd time I would do something with someone else, but not very often.
So what would you do? I mean, what were your sort of play activities, if you like?
Well, let's see. As a younger person or in high school? Junior high too, I guess. I used to write plays. I used to get all the neighborhood kids acting out my plays. I feel like Joe and Little Women. Yeah. Assign them all roles. And I organized treasure hunts and hidden things all over with these little rhymy notes. That was great fun. When I was really small, we used to play Robin Hood in the bushes. I don't know, as we got older, we got into such things like Ouija boards. And
was that in high school?
Yeah. Junior high, I was about 14 then. Then I started singing with a girl, Gail. We did some folk singing around town in front of people and that. There was a coffee house, the Bunkhouse Cafe, downtown, way down underneath some building or other, and that was kind of a neat place to go in those days. And we'd sit there and listen to folk music or sing for the group. That's a really nice atmosphere. I love the artsy stuff. And as I was in high school and formed got involved with an artsy group, Lynn Johnston, the artist, she was one of my friends, Lynn Ridgway. We were all part of a group, and a lot of them have gone on to do famous things, working for the CBC or whatever. And, of course, Lynn. But, so we did that. We painted murals all over her walls and just had a nice little group. And Claire was part of that. I brought her into that.
So by then we're talking about, what, the first few years of the 60s?
Right. Yeah, because I left to go to England in 65 and I was 17.
Why did you go back to England?
Well, I had been back on a couple of trips with my parents, and I have always been somebody who's divided between the two countries. My soul is back there, but my body is here. So I can't seem to reconcile the two somehow. And now, of course, it's impossible for me to move because I have 4 children here. But in those days, I did a couple of trips back, and then I got the idea that I just sort of lived and breathed England. And my mother saw this, and my mother's a very cunning woman. And I had been trying to figure out what I was going to do in school. I had taken many courses. I thought maybe journalism. Took 2 years of journalism, I took 2 years of drama, 2 years of French, 2 years of typing. I took art all the way through. I was trying to figure out what my path was. And as the family situation got worse with my father's drinking, and my brother left home, and it was quite a violent thing when he left home, that left me at home. And I really just threw away my schooling. I literally threw it away. I remember thinking, nobody cares what I do. I don't care either. And I just chucked it out the window and failed. And when I failed, it kind of gave me a wake-up call. And I said to myself, uh-oh, you know, this isn't doing me any good. Next year I'll pull my socks up. But in the meantime, my mother, I had been, I don't fully know, I have a feeling she knew about me. I had been talking to my friends and coming out and telling them about myself. And she got wind of this, I'm sure. And so partly this was happening, and partly she would like me out of her life. So she approached me one day and said, how would you like to go back to England for a visit for the summer? I was quite delighted over this, because this would be a wonderful opportunity. And 2 days later, she approached me and said, how would you like to go back to England and stay there? And I wasn't so delighted over that. Mm-hmm. However, she was a little insistent, and I was very afraid of her. So she bought a one-way ticket. On the night before I was to leave, I came to her and I said, I don't have to do this, you know. Well, she got quite upset, and there was a major row, and that's how we parted. So that's what happened. I think my father didn't have a clue what was happening. But after I was out of the picture, they sold the house and opened a store and did all kinds of things because they didn't have kids at home anymore. So, yeah, it's kind of funny.
How long were you back in England?
8 years.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So, to what, 1973 thereabouts,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. You talked about coming out and that.
Mm-hmm.
And you said earlier that Claire was a very important person in your life. Tell me about her.
Well, yeah.
Where did you meet?
We met in art class.
Mm.
Yeah. She was standing there, quite stunning. I approached her and started to discuss her brooch she was wearing, and it was my way in. And she had no friends. She was pretty stuck up. Felt she was a little above everyone, I think. Something about that I liked. But for some reason, she liked me. So that was pretty neat. So we became really close friends. We bonded very strongly. At the time, she did have another friend, and the friendship was wavering a little. But there was, because I came in on the scene, and this other friend's name was Chris. Chris was holding a pajama party. And I had heard that Chris was a lesbian. And I got quite excited over that. And then I got quite excited at the thought of a pajama party. and as it turned out to be just the three of us.
Mm.
And there was Chris on one side of me, and me in the middle, and Claire on the other side of me. And during this pajama party, Chris bends over and starts to kiss me. And I was quite enjoying this when all of a sudden Claire jumps up, quite upset, yelling how disgusting this all was, etc., etc. But You know, the funny thing is about that, I've reflected back on this. She never had anything to do with Krista after that again, but she stayed my closest friend. And I think that what she thought was disgusting was the fact that it was Chris that I was kissing.
How old were you at this time?
14.
14. And were they the same age as you?
Yeah.
Hmm. And so you had already heard that Chris was a lesbian. Mm-hmm. Was that like school gossip or?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was.
Hmm.
Yeah. And I believed it too. And now I found out that was true.
And was it the word lesbian that was used, or was there another kind of coded word? Do you remember?
No, they used the word lesbian.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And for me, that was very exciting because I already knew about myself.
Mm.
I just didn't know how to get any contact. So anytime I heard that anyone was, I was thinking, hoping, oh, there's got to be a way to make contact here.
When did you first know about yourself?
About 12.
Mm.
Yeah, there was a girl I stayed overnight at her house. And I don't even remember her name, but I remember suggesting that we imitate certain body movements and things. And so she lay on top of me, and I thought, this is wonderful. And I can remember all these emotions and feelings, that this is wonderful. This is really wonderful. So I was 12.
Hmm. Was that feeling all an emotional feeling, or did you have a physical response to her as well? Like, did you become aroused?
Yeah, I did. And that's amazing when I think at 12, you know, 12 going on 13, it's just at that age where those things are becoming alive. And yeah, I did feel quite excited. It's incredible.
How much had you known before that about sex? Like, you talked about imitating certain body positions. Where had you learned about those body positions from? Do you know?
Yeah, there was a friend. I knew nothing about anything. I was quite naive. But I had my friend Julie, who I call Jules, and we were fascinated, her and I, with things. So we would discuss those kinds of subjects. And I learned a lot from her.
Mm.
I don't know where she got her information, but that was a safe place to learn from because I didn't have anyone else.
So your mother hadn't told you anything about your body or sexuality?
She just described menstrual blood.
Mm.
Basically sat me in the middle of a kitchen on a chair and paced around me like an army sergeant and ordered me, if anything happened, to let her know immediately. And did I understand?
Yes,
I did understand. And so when it happened, I thought, this isn't happening the way it's supposed to be. There must be something wrong with me. So I didn't go to her. So anyway.
Mm.
Yeah, she was a bit terrifying that way. Yeah, so, and in those days they didn't have all the movies and stuff like now. So my friend Penny was given a little book to read by her mother. And so I thought, gee, I wish I had one of those books. Why doesn't my mom give me a book?
Did you borrow Penny's book?
Oh, I read it. I looked at it at her house. I wasn't allowed to take it away, but I looked at it.
Mm.
So, yeah, I had no idea what a fellow looked like or anything else.
Mm.
In fact, when I was about 16, Gail and I were with the manager at the time. And we were sitting down one night discussing things. And we both asked, what does a man look like? And he sat and drew a diagram for us. I thought, this is very strange. This is what it looks like. I have no idea.
So there wasn't any sort of going around without clothes on in your household?
Oh, no. No. I did, though.
Mm.
I did. And I didn't realize that the neighbors could see me through the window. Till years later, I was told. Yeah, I walked around with no clothes on. I was free spirit. Mm. I used to dance in the living room with no clothes on, too.
Had you been warned about masturbation or anything like that? Mm-mm. No.
No. No. I had heard about it later on, but I hadn't been warned about it. It wasn't all of these things were kind of taboo. Mm. Not talked about things.
So did you explore your own body when you were growing up?
I did when I was about 16, 17, and I didn't feel anything. I thought, well, I don't feel anything here. Maybe I'm a dead person or something. I don't know. Maybe I'm doing this wrong. Or maybe I'm not touching the right place. Or, you know, you go through all these things. It didn't do anything for me. So I thought, oh, dear, I felt frigid. And then, like, when I had boyfriends, I felt frigid. I didn't find any... I wasn't interested in a boyfriend.
We're talking about Penny arranged a blind date for you.
She arranged several of those, actually. And I was so miserable with this that I would go out on them and say nothing. they never wanted to see me again after that, of course. And I was so relieved. It was my way of handling it. I would make myself extremely boring. And then... you know, and then I had this fellow named Bruce, who seemed to be quite pushy, and he came over and he started to want to fondle me and stuff, and I felt really, I felt very upset over that. That didn't last either, because I didn't like that. So I felt there was something wrong with me here at this point. I was 14 then. And all my friends are talking about boys and talking about how good-looking they were and everything. And me, I wanted to just be out walking, doing my serene thing, you know, climbing the trees and just meditating. And heck, I didn't give three hoots about guys. So I was really weird, according to them. And they were determined they were going to get me involved with guys. So they set out on this sort of little quest in life. So I just sort of went along with it just to amuse them, but I didn't feel. And then I had this fellow named Paul when I was 15 who really cared for me. And he was a really, really good-looking guy. And all the girls were after him, and he was after me. He had a motorbike and Mr. Cool. And so one day I knew by this time, I was 15 and I knew by this time, and I was really telling people. So I said, I think I'm a lesbian. I never saw him again. Wonder why? Can't figure it out.
So. Where had you, can you remember where you heard the word lesbian?
Oh, well, the word homosexuality I heard as a young child, preteens. I remember being dismissed from the room. There was my father, mother, and company, and we were not allowed to stay in the room. I was told to get out, do not enter this room, because something was coming on the television that was not very good for me to watch. And I found out later that it was about homosexuality, and that amazes me thinking about it now, because that's a long time ago that subject would be on TV. But whatever they said, I don't know. As for the word lesbian, it may have been through school, but I don't remember. It just seemed to be a part of my life. It was always there. And I liked the word. I thought, oh, that's an empowering word. I like that.
Can you remember what it meant to you as a teenager? When you heard that word, what kind of person did you think that person was?
Oh, I knew, and still, I still get the same feeling inside with the word. It's a connection with the female, and I thought, oh yes, a woman. Like, this is, women are wonderful, and And that was, there was power, and then there was gentleness, and there was just femininity, and perhaps more so in those days, I'm not sure, because it seems to me that a lot more women had to keep this feminine facade going. They wore dresses and things, whereas now they don't have to as much. So I just thought, oh, the beauty of a woman. The word just sings. I love it.
If those were your feelings then, how did you explain the reactions you got when you told people about yourself or the gossip about Chris? How did you balance those things out?
Well, I knew there was nothing wrong with me. I knew who I was, and I was proud of it. I figured the problem was with them. And there was some fear when I did with the thing with Chris, because it spread through the school about Chris, but nothing was said about me. So I kind of figured that Claire must have said something, but because of her affections for me, she protected me. And so there was some fear about that in school, because I was thinking, oh, well, I am in a school situation here, and it could be sticky. So I walked through the school halls kind of a little bit cautious at first after this incident. And nobody, but the buzz was about Chris. So I thought, oh, okay, that's fine then. I'll just be me and not say anything, because I'm a little afraid here. I'll just be me, you know, but I won't be that part of me. What was it?
I was wondering, what were the results for her?
It sort of passed by the board after a while. And she was kind of a hard nut anyway, so she just carried on with her life and couldn't care less. And she never, ever tried to make a pass at me again. So that was okay. Didn't make any difference. Because by then I was too focused on Claire anyway. And that was all I was focused on. And then I was in school operettas. And I was in one called Calamity Jane. And I had the biggest crush on this girl who was playing the lead role. And this happened out of the blue. It just came. I thought, where did this come from? I'm in love. I'm in love with her. She had these lovely buckskins, and I thought, oh my God, this voice. And so I just kind of tried to get her into my life, and it didn't work. But I remember that feeling.
So had you not been in love with Claire then, in that way? Was that different from your relationship?
It grew to be that. It grew. Yeah. This was a crush. It was a sudden thing, and it hit me, and it was, you know, and then when summer came, you know, I didn't think of her. I look back and laugh. But with Claire, I still grieve Claire. Isn't that something? All those years ago. Even trying to find her the other day. I know where she is. She's on the coast. But, yeah, she called me her special friend. With a after it. She was frightened. Her mother was a lesbian.
Oh.
She caught her mother kissing another woman in the car, and she was quite upset about that.
How old was she when that happened?
Mid-teens, about 15 or so. So that wasn't okay for her. It was too shocking.
Did the relationship between the two of you ever become physical in that way?
No, I slept with her every weekend. And she wanted me to live with her, and my mother stopped that. And that was actually going to be the end result, I'm sure. But my mother didn't like Claire. And I'm sure she must have felt that Claire was my lover. But one day, I was so passionate. And I just asked her, could I kiss you? There was a silence, and then she said, Oh, go ahead then. And with that, I thought, oh no, that's not what I wanted to do, not like that. So I said, no, I wouldn't. And we just carried on as normal. And then she gave me this old book, and she wrote in there about being her special friend. And I'm sure had given time, because she begged me to live with her. Mm. When I went to England, she begged me to come back. So we could be together.
Mm.
So had I not have gone, I really truly believe it would have become something.
Mm.
I needed to give her time.
Mm.
I was ready, but she wasn't. But she never had anyone else in her life. And the one argument we had, we separated for several months. And during that time, she never had anyone.
Mm.
And I tried going with different other people, like as friends, and came right back to Claire. I paced outside of her flat. I just was in grief. I had to have her back in my life.
Mm.
So I bought a card, and I had her sister deliver this card to her. And she looked out the window, and she waved me up, and that was it. I was in again. Yeah. So she was upset that I was going to England.
Mm. When you asked if you could kiss her, was that a physical desire? Was there a sexual element to that, or how would you describe your feelings for her?
Pure passion.
Mm.
Yeah, I loved her. I was in love with her. Pure passion. I had to get closer. Just lying beside her was agony.
Mm.
Total agony. I couldn't touch her.
Mm.
Oh, it was horrible. It was the agony and the ecstasy. I could have been in another room, and that would have been agony too. But I was right there beside her, and I couldn't touch her. And I just, I don't know what came over me. I just thought, oh my God. Oh. And I don't think I'm usually that bold.
Hmm.
Yeah, so I don't know what would have happened, you know, if I had gone and kissed her. I don't know.
Mm.
Thinking about it now, she might have been extremely responsive to me. She didn't say no, that's disgusting. So, I don't know. Maybe I lost my chance there. I don't know. Oh dear. I certainly wasn't a threat to her in any way. And she was beautiful, I thought.
Mm. I wanted to ask you about when you said you were going out with that guy and you told him you thought you might be a lesbian and you never saw him again. Was that the only consequence of you telling him that?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Did you tell other people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How many?
I told some of my girlfriends. I didn't tell Penny. But I told some of my girlfriends that I had known since I was quite young. I wasn't seeing Penny then. We had really, our high schools and everything had all split up, so that's the reason I didn't. But I was, the girls that I told were, my parents were friends with their parents. And so I would have sleepovers at their house, these two sisters. And so I told them. I also told a man friend of my parents. We were sitting one day chatting, and I said it to him. Claire knew it. I was at the library finding what books there were. So few books in those days, I think. Mm. And just figured that it would be Claire and I forever living together, and she was okay with that. That's how naive we were, but that was okay by her. And and I kept a book. I wrote things down in a book. Mm. I still keep books. But I was writing down my thoughts. So in my thought book, I would write all about this. Mm. So it would have been in the home for my mother to pick up and read.
Mm.
And more than likely, she would have.
So you didn't code it in any way?
Nope. No, I didn't feel ashamed of it. Mm. I didn't feel there was any reason to code it. I was very proud of it.
How did people respond?
The girls I told were seemed to be no big deal. It just didn't seem to be a big deal to anyone, not my friends anyway. And I knew a gay fella, and in that group I was telling you about, and we hung around, and that was okay too. Nobody paid any attention to that.
Mm.
It was outside of our group that, like, the other kids in school, the popular kids in school, made fun of him, and so you were more careful.
Mm. Did you talk with your mother directly about it?
No. Mm-hmm. No. No.
Did she find out from anybody else, do you think?
I think she found out from, her friend, that male friend I told her. I'm pretty sure he would have said something. And perhaps the girls I spoke to, because they were friends of the family.
Mm.
I just wasn't cautious about it. I wasn't fearful about it. I saw no reason to be ashamed. I was very, very proud.
Mm.
And still am. So I didn't try to keep it under wraps. If anything, I was trying to get it out in the open by telling people who would tell my parents.
Mm.
But there's some doubt about my father, too. My mother, we had friends come over from England to visit from Wales, and my mother was in quite a bad state over the fact that she caught this man touching my father, and my father allowing it on two occasions.
Mm.
So there's some doubt whether, you know, like some question about him.
Mm.
So I probably never will know the truth about that. But it makes me wonder.
Hmm. Did you have any any physical contact that went further than fondling with guys before you went to Britain?
No. No.
Hmm.
No, I remained a virgin until I married.
Hmm.
I didn't like it. I thought I just didn't like it.
Mm.
It didn't arouse me at all. I just thought, oh, what is this reason for this? Why? I ask. I really wasn't interested in guys. And a lot of fellas after me, but I wanted girlfriends.
Mm.
I always went for girlfriends. Even when I was married, my first husband would go off and sleep at my girlfriend's husband's house because they would watch football. She would stay with me and we would sleep in the same bed. I just thought, I want to be with you forever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just... In my teens, I met Holly. She came and slept, and I knew she was a lesbian. But we never did anything. It just felt good to be with her. And I knew her for a while, but nothing happened.
Was that here in Canada?
Mm-hmm. Before I went back.
Mm.
And then when I went back, I sort of got all involved with jobs and things, and I just wanted my girlfriends. I just wanted to be with them, that feminine energy. And that continued through the marriages as well. I always had. I did end up getting involved in a religious group. And once you're involved in that, you have to put your past life behind you. So it was said that, oh, that was just a foolish thing I did in my, a foolish way I felt in my teens, and it was a phase. Mm. And I always knew it wasn't, but I kind of got all caught up in this religious thing. And then there would be articles in the magazines about someone was homosexual and then they changed because they got God. Mm. And things like that. And I wondered about that. You know, is it that easy to change? And you're made out to be kind of sinful, so I just didn't say anything much. I did say once to somebody, and somebody just totally went quiet, and I thought, ooh, I better not say this anymore.
What religious group was that?
Jehovah's Witnesses.
Mm.
Mm. Yeah, I was involved with them for quite a few years. Very strict.
Mm. When did you get involved?
After I came back from England, they called on me at the door. And I was, because I had the two kids, I was looking for some kind of religious training for the kids. And they offered a free home Bible study. And I said, oh, well, I'd do that, but I'm not getting involved with your religion. That was fine by them.
Mm.
Well, before you knew it, they're doing the guilt and the fear thing. And I found myself feeling terribly guilty and awfully fearful.
Mm.
And started to get check out some things, and it seemed to be according to the scriptures. And in those days, I thought the Bible was the only book in the world. So I got caught. So, and now I work with people who have come out of cults or needing help coming out of cults. Sometimes I do that. But, yeah, I still have a son who's caught in there.
Mm.
And I never see him. He doesn't talk to me because he's shunning me. And I don't know whether he knows about this part of my life, because I did have a partner here for 4 years. So whether he knows or not, through the grapevine, that would keep him away.
Mm.
Yeah, I lost both my children into that, and my girl came out about a year and a half ago, two years ago. But she still doesn't know about me, but the rest of the family does.
Mm.
But it's not safe to tell just yet. But my youngest daughter, who's 20, is like myself, and so that's a blessing for me. So we're able to talk about women. She lives with a young fella, but he's very well aware of her desires, and he knows about me, and that's all okay. So it makes everything just great. And my son, who's 12 and lives with me, knows about that. And he says, Mama, I love you unconditionally.
Mm.
And he's great with that, because I have a lot of women in the house all the time. And so he's very familiar with that. And my husband and I are separated, and he knows about it too.
Mm.
And he's supportive. So I have actually got a lot of support now.
Mm.
And my parents aren't in my life. I divorced my parents. They were quite intrusive in my life, and actually knew about me and my former partner. We were in the tent out the back my mother came along. And I guess we were kissing or something, and we got caught. So,
had you ever been caught before? I'm just thinking about in your adolescence when you clearly had some very close attachments. Were you ever caught in a compromising situation by anybody?
No. No.
What about your brother in all of this? When this came up in your mid-teens, had he already left home? Or
he left home at 19, and he was 3.5 years older than me. So he was home for part of it.
Did he have any reaction to you, or?
Sexually attracted to me. He made advances. He did quite a severe advance on me that was terrifying. I would sleep with him. When I say sleep, I mean just sleep in bed. Although he was violent with me, he still was the only safe place I had in the home. So we would sleep together right up till he left home at 19. I would crawl in his bed and we would lie side by side and talk and sleep. It was a strange thing we had going. But we were both children of abuse and we both only had each other. And he didn't really know about me unless my mother told him. He never said anything. I don't know his feelings on that. I never see him.
I wanted to ask some questions about what kind of reading material you were into at the time. You said that you went to the library and looked at some books. Can you remember what the books were?
Well, the one book that I found was called Through the Grapevine, and I'd love to find out. Again, but I don't know the author, and I remember being fascinated by it, and that's the only one I can remember. I guess there were other novels and stuff, but I did find that one, and I would like to reread that if there was ever a way to get a copy of that. I know it would be out of print now, but and probably a lot of it would sound very old-fashioned, but still, I would, for old time's sakes, like to read that.
So it was fiction?
No, it was about lesbians. It wasn't fiction. Sometimes I read stuff to do with women in those True Confessions magazines. I read a lot of those, and they were quite exciting.
What excited you about them?
Well, I'm not sure. It just was exciting. Reading those things was quite thrilling, I thought. And I was aware, too, that people in the arts are gay. I was aware of that, and of course I love to associate with people in the arts. I felt myself to be an artist of some sort. And so that was fine by me. You know, I loved it. I just thought that was part of who they were, and it was very nice. Of course, we always heard about the movie stars and such like things. And then when I was in England, too, it's very open over there. Long before here, men would be dressed in women's clothes and openly gay, and it just laughed at and accepted. Not like here. I don't think we get a lot of that on TV, but over there, all the time. And gay people just laugh at themselves, you know, and it's just part of life. But over here, people get politically offended if they're laughed at. Somehow it seems it's different. There's a different kind of atmosphere here. It might be the same in New Zealand. I don't know.
I don't know either. What about dress for a moment? how would you describe your appearance?
Before you went
back to England, what kind of dress style did you have?
Oh, me? Oh, I was artsy. I just almost similar to now, actually. I a little black boots with a chain at the side, black leotards, long black skirt, great big long sweaters, shoulder bag, long hair, just like now. Just felt really artsy. Mm. That was my style, and that's the way I was. And I was just one of the artsy crowd, and we had character, I felt. We weren't stuck up bunch of rich people or anything. We had a purpose in life, and that was to bring soul to the world. Yeah, so that's how I dressed, and I dressed much the same like that in the winter here, with the black leotards, the black boots, the long hair, and wore hats, little tams or whatever.
Were you feminine?
Yes, I've always been feminine. Mm. There were some lesbian women who lived together just up the road, and they were mechanics. Two great big women in dungarees and, you know, and I thought, oh, look at those two women. They're not very feminine.
And how did you feel about that? What was your response to that?
I thought that was okay for them. They both felt that was okay, so that was okay by me. Mm-hmm. But I, of course, felt more attracted to somebody more feminine. Mm-hmm. Because I wanted what I thought the essence of womanhood was, which was femininity. That may not necessarily be so, but that's what I was thinking. Mm. Gentleness and all the things that we had been taught.
So the girls you were attracted to at the time weren't quote unquote butchy. This is take two of an interview between Karen Duder and the date is the 30th of May, 1998. You were just talking to me about your not being able to get into that sort of, or being attracted to feminine women as opposed to butchier women, put it that way.
Yeah, I thought, I didn't like the idea of role models. Mm-hmm. I thought to myself, well, if I wanted to be with a male, I certainly would be with a male. Why would I want a female dressed as a male? That puts us back in the same position as the other people. What I loved was women, and I thought women are feminine and gentle, and that's what attracts me. I still feel much the same. I don't know.
Those two women who lived up the street, how long had they been there?
Quite a while. I don't know how long, but quite a while. Everybody knew about them. Mm.
Can you remember who told you that they were lesbian?
Mm-mm. No. Maybe Claire. Mm. I walked by there quite often. Curious, I always looked over. Just to get a peek. Wanted to talk to them like crazy, but too shy to do such a thing. Mm.
They're sounding to me like a couple of people whom many parents would have warned their children against. Were there any people in your neighborhood, any kids you clearly weren't allowed to play with, or any adults who were clearly out of bounds in your growing up years?
Yeah, there was. My father was not liked. And so there were problems with certain families, so I wasn't allowed to see different children down the road or whatever. Mm. Because of him, my father.
So that was like because of interpersonal conflict instead of, say, class considerations or racial considerations or anything like that?
No, it was interpersonal. The street I grew up on was all young families bought these houses, so there were a lot of children. And sometimes the children would come and play Nicky Nicky Nine Doors and stuff like that. You know what that is. Ring the bell and then run away.
Right.
So my father would come out yelling and phoning parents and therefore got into, well, didn't get liked, you know. The parents turned on him and the children would aggravate all the more, and then it just went from one bad thing to another. So there were certain families I couldn't play with or didn't have, I felt awkward around because of all that situation. Not that I never played Nicky Nicky Nine Doors. Must have. I was no innocent.
Did you, in those days, and you said you're part of the artsy set, did you used to smoke at that age?
Yeah, I did smoke. I started at 16.
What about alcohol?
Yeah, I guess a little, but not much. If someone had some, I would drink a beer or whatever. But I was underage to buy any, and I didn't really need it or anything. So if someone had a beer, they would give me a beer, and I'd drink a beer. But that's about it.
So you wouldn't have, at that age, you wouldn't have been sneaking into any bars or anything?
Oh, no. No. No, because I think I was 21 to drink then. And I certainly didn't look it. Always looked younger. So I wouldn't have got away with that. Yeah. No, so there was nowhere I could go, really, to meet anyone. And except maybe the coffee house scenes and so on. So hanging around in the artsy crowd gave me more of a chance of meeting some. Even if they were gay guys, I felt okay with that. Had a bit of a tussle with a friend of mine who was a gay guy. He got into a fight with me. He was jealous of, well, I was seeing his friend Paul, and we were just friends, but Paul seemed to like me. But Michael liked Paul. So there it was. And he jumped on me and got quite annoyed and pulled my hair and did all kinds of things in front of the rest of the group. So that wasn't very pleasant. But I didn't really want Paul anyway, so he could have him. But Paul didn't really want Michael either, so.
Did you meet other lesbian women through that crowd ever?
No. No, we were pretty closed crowd. If it had gone on, we probably would have. But then in the midst of it all, I went and left and went back to England, so.
Now, your time in England is sort of, you know, kind of in the post-1965 period, but nevertheless, I was curious, because you got married, did you, when you were in England? What brought you to that point of getting married?
I was pregnant. Yeah, I didn't really want to marry him. I wasn't in love with him or anything. He was a violent man. I wanted to live on my own. He had a lot of power over me, and I had no place to run. And I didn't have experience. And so I ended up living with him, and then I ended up getting pregnant. So I ended up marrying him.
At what age?
Just about 19.
So at some point you had sex with a man.
Mm-hmm. With him.
Yeah. What, after your teenage years and not feeling comfortable with that, how did that occur? How did that happen that you two came together in the beginning?
Well, I wouldn't let him touch me. And he just kept on and on and on and on for 4 months. Look, I've been a married man. I need it. Hmm. And started to do the old guilt thing. And so I guess I just gave in. It was terrible. I didn't feel any pleasure or anything. Hmm. So, and I thought, why do they rave about this? Is there something wrong with me? I kept coming back to that old question. Must be something wrong with me. So, anyway, and as it turned out, he turned out not to want it very often anyway, and so I was safe. It wasn't a great big thing in his life, thank goodness. So I had my two babies and even slept in a separate bedroom. Mm. So I felt a little bit of control in my life there, I guess. He'd go to bed late and get up like 2 in the afternoon, so I had some peace. He never worked.
How long was it before you, excuse me, before you had a sexual relationship with a woman?
Oh. Well, that's only just been recently. Mm. In the last 5 years.
Yeah. Any sort of exploration before that and during your married years?
Because we were involved with the witnesses, and that was a no-no. The closest I could get to women would be to be close friends and stay overnight with them. Mm. So even if I had wanted to do something, if I wanted to do something, I would have been reported. So, no, that kept me pretty much on a tight rein. So the safe way to do it would be to be friends, and it was safe to stay overnight. I could do that. So then when I did meet someone, it was like this total freeing experience. But along with that came an awful lot of fear. So it was like a dual world. And I was still married at the time. And so then I didn't know, like, you throw away a lot of your years together with someone, or, but I couldn't deny my feelings. I was passionately in love. And I hadn't felt like this for a long time. And it was really different. It was wonderful. The passion part was really wonderful. Mm. So I had to make a choice because I ended up in the hospital. Being caught between two people. All three of us live together in this house. And I've got her tugging on one side and him tugging on the other, and rightly so, because he didn't know what was going on. He just knew that this was some kind of threat was taking place here, and my affections were turning towards her. And being caught in the middle, I ended up sick. Mm. I ended up at the hospital and I had a breakdown. And then I had to be nursed back to health. So there they are, both in my bedroom with me in bed, and we saw that scene last night with Violet, and there we are all talking on the bed, and you know, and that's exactly the scenario that went on in here. So I had to make a choice, and I tried an in-home no one knew about me. The doctors or anyone didn't know about me, what was going on. they just knew that I wasn't well, and they figured it was because I had lost my kids in the watchtower, and that partly was it, too. That happened before. And then this was something else on top of it. So they didn't really know the situation of the struggle I was in. But so they felt that I should ask him to leave. And I didn't really want to throw my marriage over. I felt he was a really good man and kind and so on. I was really, really caught in between these two people. And so I asked him to have a live-in house separation. But we did that for 4 months, but that didn't really last because he kept violating the boundaries.
Mm.
And he didn't really understand why there had to be boundaries. So it's not his fault, because he didn't know what was going on. He didn't have a clue. He just knew that her coming here was a threat to him and our marriage. So he was trying to make it better.
Mm.
And then I asked him to leave one day. I thought that would solve everything. And then we could be together. And it didn't, because it still left me in a place of fear, because he was still in the background. And I was not out. And then I was unsure of her, because she was not a truthful person. So it left me like about 3 years of total fear, knowing I wanted her, but her not being truthful, so I had no security in her. And yet I knew now I couldn't go back to him, because I would shrink and shrink inside of myself. So I just remained pretty sick for a long time.
Hmm. That passion you felt for her before finding out that she wasn't being honest, did that bear any similarity to the way you had felt with Claire?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think it was intensified because she felt that way for me. Had Claire have felt that way, then I would have had even stronger feelings happening.
Mm.
Yeah, and that passion was always there, except that when I got into a fear place, I would do some distancing to try to protect myself. But then when I allowed the brick walls to fall, the passion was still there. The love was still there. But I kept doing this coming forward and withdrawing thing all the time, back and forth and back and forth, to protect myself, because I perceived it was a fearful situation taking place here, so I would withdraw. And then that would make her annoyed, because she would want total affection all the time, and I wasn't affectionate, I was pulling away.
Mm.
So, because I sensed untruths or found out about things that weren't true. So, It was quite an intense relationship.
Even with all of this change in your life, and there has been a lot of change, and some difficult stuff to deal with, what is there any single thread throughout all of that you can tie in any way to your sexuality, that through the whole of your life? Or is there any all-encompassing kind of feeling you have about it in terms of your life?
That's a bit of a toughie.
You don't have to answer it.
Well, if I could think of an answer, let's see here. It's about love. It's about love for me. It's about pure love. And for some reason, it doesn't feel pure coming from a man. I don't know if this makes any sense at all. But for me, And I'm not saying that women are pure either, so I don't understand it myself, but that's where my, I know it's about love. And that common thread of wanting a woman's love, needing to be loved by a woman, and wanting to give love to a woman. And perhaps that goes back to my mother. I don't know. But then if that was the case, why would my daughter be like she is? You know, so I don't know. I know it's to do with love. And I have been loved by my husband. He loves me very much, but it's not enough for me. It just isn't enough. I need a woman's love, and I need to love a woman.
Would I be correct in assuming that from what you've said, it sounds like you have always been aware of that?
Yes.
Even throughout marriage?
And yes. Mm-hmm.
What do you think it was that prevented you for all of those years being able to explore that in relationships? What got in the way?
I wanted children.
Mm.
And in those days, you had to be with a man. And I had wanted 4 children, exactly what I got. I had another goal in my life, and that was to, very idealist I am, to have the perfect family, the one I never grew up in. And I was going to correct everything that went wrong, change it all. I like to step in, change patterns, so that it doesn't keep rolling on and on and on, this terrible ball, and disturbing people's lives. So that's what I did. I changed the cycle with my own family. So having family to me was really important. But I would have liked to have been able to have been in a relationship with a woman and have children. That would have been wonderful. I thought about that with Claire. But I don't know, in those days, you just had to know some guy, I guess. And in fact, she did have a baby, and she gave it up for adoption, and she never married until the 80s. So she was a long time alone. Yeah, so family was an important thing for me.
Did that ever make you feel, I don't know what I'm trying to ask here, pulled in two directions, wanting to have children, but also wanting to be with women in a time in history when you couldn't do both things.
Mm-hmm. Ripped down the middle.
Mm.
Totally ripped down the middle. And I had to put my energies in one area, otherwise it would destroy me. So I put my energies into my family. And then just grabbed good feelings from being with women. Just settled for crumbs from the table, which was just to be with women. And so when this other woman came along and I fell in love with her, I felt to myself at my age, I no longer can settle for crumbs from the table. This is my opportunity. I have to do this for myself. And I couldn't deny the feelings I had. They were there. It was a strong connection. And if I hadn't gone forward with it, I would have said, oh, what would that have been like? How would that have turned out? And always wondered. But now I know. And what it was for me was a springboard, even though that arrangement didn't work out. It was a springboard into a new way of life. It gave me the ability to become truly who I am. And without that situation happening, I would not have come out. I would have stayed in my happy little home, doting on my children and pushing myself to the background, denying myself. But now that my children are grown up, except for my 12-year-old, I am sort of feeling less and less of a purpose here. So now it is kind of time for me to do something. There is a space here where I can make time for myself and become who I am. Even though I'm still valued and needed, most of them are grown up, and so there is an opening. And my daughter Erin says, I said to her, what would you do if I bring someone over and introduce you, someone I'm fond of? Fine, Mom, she said, just as long as she loves you. And she's good to you. She wasn't fond of my partner. And so she did have a party recently, and I did take someone over to the party. And that was quite a new experience. But I felt good. But I don't have a partner right now or anyone, but I'm having fun just being around with women and freely talking about it. It's nice.
Well, I think that's all the questions I have, but is there anything that you would like to add about sexuality? You don't have to.
Well, I'm trying to think, but I'm not sure. It's a very beautiful thing. I think whoever we are, our soul selves, whoever we are, should be honored and respected by ourselves and by others. I don't think it should be cheapened in any way. That's why I have certain things that I would like in a partner. I don't like things made cheap. I really, really, really feel that who we are, it's taken a lot of courage for us to come out and be who we are and say who we are, and that should be respected by everyone, that the courage we've taken, especially those of us who have hidden it for years and then come out. It takes a lot to come out. It's a frightening thing. I have never experienced so much fear in my whole life. I just shook and shook and shook and ran to the bathroom all day and just had a horrendous time with it. I fought really hard to be in the place I'm in, and I'm not throwing it away. So I'm proud of who I am. I don't like derogatory names used. I know some women do, but I don't. I think it's a thing to be respected and honored, and I guess I'm prissy, but I don't care. Oh well, so anyway, that's about it.
Okay, well, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.